now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everything going for you out here today? Yeah. Everything's going pretty smooth on my end also. This week is pretty cool. We wrapped up Summer League, right? We got to get some good NFL preseason games in. College football is right around the corner. I'm seeing everybody do their predictions, their rankings, players to watch, early Heisman, all that type of stuff, and we'll get into that in a couple weeks. And baseball is getting right into the meat of the season, and everything's starting to pick up. And we're starting to see who the contenders are and who the pretenders are. And we'll also get into that. As we get into that, though, I also encourage you to go to my YouTube page. That's go to the Commissioner's Conversation on YouTube. Check it out. In the upcoming weeks, I'm going to have people who are going to talk about a variety of things, whether it's HBCU football, whether it's NFL, whether it's going to be baseball or the upcoming basketball season. We'll talk about some of everything. So go to YouTube, the Commissioner's Conversation, and check out what we got cooking up.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, as mentioned before, the NFL preseason is underway. So everybody's out here and everybody's overreacting as usual to what the hell is going on the field. And some of this stuff, man, is not really an overreaction. And I say that because the NFL instituted a new rule, and it's not even really a new rule. They're becoming more strict on the taunting rule. And they're going to serve a harsher punishment based off the taunting rules and sportsmanship. And I'd seen some people talk about it before. I saw some articles last week. I was going to talk about it last week, but I decided to hold off. I was just going to wait and watch the whole thing play out because it may be a big deal about nothing. And then I didn't want to sit here ranting and raving about how the game is so jacked up and then it blows over. So what I did, I decided to sit tight and see how it would play out. And it played out beautifully because, like I told you, there are people that were upset and they were talking about how vague the rule was and how the rule was going to turn the NFL into the no fun league and all of this stuff. And then I had to go and see for myself. I went and I checked out what the letter of the law was. And it is, in fact, a vague rule. I will spare you all the mumbo jumbo that is stated in the rule. But what I will do is I'll read a quote from the NFL Competition Committee Chairman, Rich McKay, who's also like the Atlanta Falcon president. Not like, he is the Atlanta Falcon president. And he says, and I quote, "We saw an increase in actions that clearly were not within the spirit and intent of this rule and not representative of the respect to the opponents and others on the field. Game officials have been instructed to strictly enforce the taunting rules, and players and coaches are reminded that two taunting penalties committed by one individual will result in an automatic disqualification. In addition, the taunting player may be fined and or suspended depending on the severity of the actions." They also had a video to go along with the rule and Rich McKay speaking. And the video that I saw had a couple clips of players celebrating basically in the face of other players. Basically. And one video, it was a guy flexing in the tackler's face. You know, they were face mask to face mask. And he flexed up on them. And Another video was, I think it might have been like Jarvis Landry, and he spiked the ball in the defender's face. And I looked and I thought, I was like, damn, that's what's going to be a penalty nowadays? Because I was thinking like, yeah, disrespectful, yeah, maybe. But penalty or fine worthy? Hell no. That's football. Like, going back to what he said, we saw an increase in actions that clearly were not within the spirit and intent of this rule and not representative of the respect to opponents and others on the field. Game officials have been instructed to strictly enforce the taunting rules. Strictly enforce the taunting rules.
Commissioner Gordon.
Now, like I said, I didn't say anything last week because I was going to wait, check it out, see how this whole thing plays. And boy, did it. It did not take long to come up on the radar. The Indianapolis Colts were hosting the Carolina Panthers. Young running back Benny LeMay took a handoff, gets a first down, and proceeds to drag like four Carolina defenders for about 10 yards, dog. And he got up and he did what everybody would do in that situation. He got up and he talking shit. And he looked back at the defenders and he talking shit to them. And he look up and he's screaming and he's yelling. And the referee's running up throwing the flag. 15-yard penalty. And if you haven't seen the video, all you got to do is go to Twitter, go to go to the Explorer page, type in No Fun League, and this video will be all over your screen. But I beg the NFL to not do this. Don't do this, man. Please. And I'm not going to go the route that everybody, I won't say everybody, I'm not going the route that a lot of people are going. I've seen people on social media and on television making it about race and how they're trying to police blackness. And I'm not doing that. I ain't here for that. But to me, this has everything to do with entertainment and how you sell your business, how you sell your sport. Because let's be honest out in these streets. Ain't nobody out here thinking that football is a gentleman's game. You want to be a gentleman? Take your ass to the golf course. When you hit this gridiron, though, you got to be a stone cold killer. You got to be a beast. And ain't nobody expecting you to get up and shake hands and hug and dust each other off and ask, are you okay? Did I hit you too hard? Hell nah, that ain't what this is. This football. They don't even do that shit in basketball. People tune into football for the hits. The hits that I remind you that football is eagerly trying to edit out of its history. And for rightful reasons, you have health issues and health reasons that they are trying to suppress some of the hits that we were used to growing up. I had a whole box of videos of just highlights and hits. Sports Illustrated, the magazine, would send you videos if you just subscribe. The NFL's hardest hits and knockouts. I'm sure I still got it somewhere at my parents' house. But once again, I understand that due to the lawsuits, due to the health concerns, all of those things, I understand why they're trying to move away from those hits and trying to put the athleticism on display. But again, people tune in for those hits. It's hits. It's speed. It's that ultra athleticism that I was just referring to. And it's good old shit talking. If I can't get in my opponent's face and talk trash and tell you we're moving, we're running left. Meet me in the hole. And you meet me in the hole and I run you over? I can't get in your face? That's what we're looking for. That's what all fans are looking for. Just don't take away the emotion of the game, the entertainment in the game, the flavor of the game. I heard something the other day. Justin Jefferson basically said that he already has the game versus Jalen Ramsey circled on the schedule. He's looking forward to that matchup. He wants the smoke. Now, if I wasn't interested in a Minnesota Viking Los Angeles Rams matchup before, I want to see what the hell is going to happen. Because I know Jalen Ramsey, he ain't no punk. I know how he get down on the defensive end of the field. And I know Justin Jefferson, up and coming superstar, hell of a receiver. He trying to put his name in the top five. And how do you put your name in the top five? You call out the best of the best in terms of defense. And so that's what he did. Now, if Justin Jefferson goes out here and scores a touchdown over Jalen Ramsey, what is he supposed to do? Is he not supposed to say, I told you, boy, you can't hold me? Is that what he's not supposed to do? He can't do that. He can't spike the ball if Jalen Ramsey is within 8 feet of him. He has to run to the sideline and high-five the coach. That's what you want him to do. He can't do anything because, Lord forbid, Jalen Ramsey's feelings get hurt. But you know what? These are all dogs out here on the field. Ain't nobody complaining to the ref that he's taunting me. Ain't nobody doing that. So why institute that? This ain't no gentleman's game. If Jalen Ramsey gets a pick on Justin Jefferson, you think he ain't gonna go back? He can't go back and hand him the football. This was meant for you, young man. He can't do that. Because then it's a 15-yard penalty. Because Justin Jefferson may have had his feelings hurt. He was taunted. He was disrespected. But yeah, this is a bad move, man. Like, I just can't. I can't see it. I don't understand it. This is a bad move because it puts a wet blanket over the energy of the game. The energy, the emotion of the game. I'll give you just case in point. It's week 12 last year, right? Week 12 last year. Kansas City is playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tariq Hill is having a hell of a day. He's going slap off. At one point in the game, Tariq turns to the defense as he's sliding into the end zone. I say sliding because it was like, look, he was moving that fast. But as he's rolling into the end zone, turns to the defense and chunks up the deuces. Peace. I'll be in the end zone. That literally burned Tampa Bay's defense. It got up under their skin so bad. And how do I know that it got up under their skin so bad? Because guess what happens? The Super Bowl comes around, and who's the matchup? Tampa Bay and Kansas City. And the Buccaneers make it a damn point that Tyreek Hill ain't doing nothing out here this evening. Whatever was going to happen was going to come from somebody else. We finna put this pressure on Pat Mahomes, and we finna put these paws on Tyreek Hill. Tampa has the game safely in hand. The game is nearing an end. And for the safety, Antoine Winfield goes up to Tyreek and puts the deuces right in his face. That's entertaining. That's emotion. That's exciting. That's football. But he did that this year. It's taunting. It's a damn shame. Once again, it's football season. And every Sunday, what you need to do, wherever you and your crew are meeting to watch the games, you show up with a bottle of Greenwood whiskey. They'll thank you for it. They'll start to ask where you got it from. And then they'll be showing up with Greenwood whiskey. And it could be a Greenwood whiskey party. And y'all can just celebrate life. You can celebrate football. You can celebrate Sundays with Greenwood whiskey. Greenwood whiskey is celebration whiskey. Celebrate with Greenwood whiskey.
Commissioner Gordon.
Fantasy football comes right hand in hand with football, with NFL football. And what better way to commemorate your fantasy football team than get a damn t-shirt made, man? Call my folks at 323_custom_apparel and put your name on your chest or on your back. It's fantasy football season, and you should celebrate your team. You should be out here repping whatever your team name is. I don't care who it is. Put it on your chest. Put it on your back. Put it on a sweatshirt. But put it on with 323 Custom Apparel. All you have to do is go to Facebook, Instagram, wherever social media is in your hand. Go to @323_custom_apparel. And you make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
We're going to keep it in the football realm, man. Listen, this is a touchy subject, and we're just going to touch on it right here because it's going to make for an ongoing conversation. I talked about earlier going to YouTube and having the Commissioner's Conversations Season 2 being displayed and encouraging you to come out to watch Season 2 of the Commissioner's Conversation. Well, this is going to be one of the conversations. Brett Favre has recently done a PSA about CTE and concussions. And in that PSA, what he says is children should not play football until they reach high school or are 14 years of age. In this ad, he has with, it's called the Concussion Legacy Foundation. Brett Favre states, having kids play before high school is just not worth the risk. Now, Tuesday, he was on the Today Show, and basically Brett said, in terms of the question when asked, do I have CTE? I really don't know. Concussions are very serious, and we're just scraping the surface of how severe they are. He went on to add that there's no telling how many concussions I've had and what are the repercussions of that. There's just no answers. So they went on to talk about the study of comparing tackle football to flag football. And the study basically from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention states that those who participate in tackle football are 15 times more likely to suffer a head injury either in a game or at practice. And the two have merged to start a website, which is basically Favre4Flag.org. The number 4s, in case you are interested, Favre4Flag.org. And I have a couple opinions on this. And like I said, we'll get deep a little later. And this is just going to scratch the surface of that discussion today. But I have a couple of opinions about this, but none of them will I in none of them will I argue the science. None of them will I argue against the studies that have been done or the numbers that come from the results of those studies and research. I'm not going to argue with that. I believe them to be true. When you say 15 times, and it's a bunch of different stuff. But I also, on the other end, like in the commercial, I'll just kind of, if you haven't seen it, you can go to Concussion Legacy Foundation and check it out. But in that commercial, there's a kid, it starts off as a kid and it grows into like Brett Favre. And he says, by the time that I get to your age, and referencing the parents, because he's talking, it's a kid talking to parents, like, let's talk about this football thing. And then he said, he's talking about it, about, you know, concussions, blah, 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 CTE. It's a brain disease caused by trauma, you know, contact, all of that stuff. And then he says, by the time I'm your age, that I might not be as good a parent as you. I might be violent to my kid. I might, and all of those things may be true. But let me tell you one thing. I know some people who have played football since they were 5 years old. And here we are at 40, and I don't know whether they have CTE or not, but I know they aren't the big bad monsters that Brett Favre described on his damn commercial. So while I'm not going to say that the science is false, that the studies are false, I totally believe them to be true. I do believe that you're exposing yourself. It's football. Naturally, you're going to expose yourself to more contact, so you're going to expose yourself to more concussions. That I believe it 100%. But I think in this country, a lot of times, we use a healthy dose of scare tactics to try to get people to do something that we want them to do. So I'm not on either side of this discussion. I'm on the fence with this. Honestly, I'm on the fence. And if you know me, you know I'm not on the fence with anything. Well, with most things, because shit, here we are. But yeah, so I see both sides of the argument. And my issue is with the organization. My issue, and I won't even hold this organization, the Concussion Legacy Foundation, but I will hold them accountable. I'm not going to specifically point them out, but it's organizations like these that talk about stuff like this, but they don't direct it toward the people that it is impacting. So about 70% of the NFL is black, right? And another interesting thing I'll just throw out there to you. I did some research and I looked up the statistics. And there's a statistical company that has put out there, they give you a pie chart. And it said like 58.9% black. And I was like, damn. There's some white dudes coming to the league I missed somewhere, you know, like, I thought the number was super high, because every year we talk about how many black coaches get looked over and how they represent the majority of the league, but they get passed over. But I was like, damn, 56? It was like 56 or 58. I can't remember. I think it was 58. And I was like, damn, that don't quite sound right. But let me tell you how sneaky it is. What they wound up doing, they created a whole new cast, a whole new chart. Because 58% is black, like 14% is biracial or multiracial, which we all know that's black. Like, you can tell me Dak Prescott is biracial or multiracial. He's black, dog. Look at him. I don't hear the good old boys in Dallas claiming him when it's time to say how many black quarterbacks are in the league. I think he'd raise his hand. He wants to, he ain't talking to me. I'm biracial. He ain't saying that. He'll stand up when you say, all the black quarterbacks in the room, please stand. Dak will be on his feet. But that's the game they're playing now. They split it up and trying to make it seem like the game is more diverse than it actually is. And all you got to do is do a little reading, and they ain't fooling no damn body. But back to what I was saying, the league is like 70-something percent black. And you do this with a commercial with Brett Favre. And I'm not knocking Brett Favre. Brett Favre serves a purpose. And I'll get to that later, because most of the time, Brett Favre is talking to a specific person. And it's no secret that here in the South, that's what we do. We play football. This is football country. I don't care if you're from Texas, all the way up to South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia. You're playing football. In Florida, they're playing football. Mississippi, they're playing football. Alabama, Tennessee, they're playing football. And so, yes, while I agree, Brett Favre does serve purpose, and he is a face of Alabama. He is a face of people that represent in Tennessee and Mississippi, because he comes from Mississippi, Florida, South Carolina. But he's not what everyone in the South looks like that's playing football. In fact, he's a minority. So if you're going to trot out this PSA and tell people, hey, don't let your kids play tackle football until the time they're 14, because their brains are still developing and they're more prone to having concussions, put them in flag football instead. Why wouldn't you grab a Ray Lewis? Why wouldn't you try to go get Emmitt Smith? Why wouldn't you try to go get those guys? Because those guys represent Southern football also. Emmitt is from Florida. He played in Dallas. Ray Lewis is from Florida, who played also in Baltimore, which is still heavy football. And they represent 70% of the league. Right? So even with that, you're directing a certain group of people to not let their kids play, while at the same time looking at this other group of people, black, knowing that they have their kids playing faithfully every Saturday, taking trips to one end of the state to the other end of the state, setting up games on off weeks and off days, and they're doing this, and you're not trying to educate them either. You're educating one and not the other. That's my issue. Because if you're going to speak to the parents of kids playing football, speak to all of them. Speak to everybody. Don't just tell these white kids, oh, football bad for you, dog. I'm going to play that shit till you get 14. I wouldn't be out here tackling. You can go over here, Favre, you know, play this flag football. Because, you know, we're going to do that shit. We over here, we playing quarterback anyway. Do that same thing with Lamar. Do that same thing with Ray Ray. Do that same thing with Emmitt. Have them. I'm sure that it would have been a tax write-off for Emmitt Smith to come out here and do a concussion commercial just like Brett Favre. And now you're covering both sides of the ball, so to speak. Because most black parents ain't, we don't give a damn about what Brett Favre talking about. How many people were going to see Brett Favre on their television screen, on their social media as an ad popping up, and is going to say and sit there and listen attentively? Let's see what Brett's talking about. Nah, dog. We don't care what Brett Favre talking about, but you put Ray Lewis out there, and we always tune in to what old Ray got to say. Because at the worst, it's going to be some entertaining stuff. So we perk up, we're going to listen. And the last thing we're probably going to think that he's going to say is, don't put your kids in tackle football until they're 14. And then he may spark some education. Some parents may go out and actually look up the studies and maybe get educated on what they should do with their young man. But this is a real topic, and one that I want to discuss with people who are in and around the game. And that's why I told you earlier that I'm just scratching the surface in this, because this impacts me directly. I have family who's played football all his life. I have a nephew who played football from the time he was 5 to the time he graduated high school. I have friends who have kids that play football today. A lot of them. And I want them to make the best decisions for their kids, because their kids are like family to me. So I know they're not listening to no damn Brett Favre. Once again. But I want this discussion to happen with people in the game, with people around the game. I'm working on trying to get a nice little lineup so that we can have an educated dialogue about what we should actually be doing as parents moving forward with our kids in terms of the sport. Because if you have a young man who's engaged, he's enthused by the game, and he loves to play the game, and you want to drive and push that enthusiasm, what you don't want to do is throw a blanket on it to be like, nah, you know, you're going to go over here and you play this flag. You're going to flag up. And he's seeing kids over there playing tackle. I'm like, well, why can't I play tackle? I'm just as good as he is. I'm just as fast as he is. I'm just as strong as he is. Why can't I do that? And then if you don't have a good reason, then you're going to spew some bullshit to your child. And then when he gets a little older and he finds out that it was some bullshit that you were spewing to him, he's going to look at you side-eyed. Because it comes out when you tell your kids lies. Eventually they find out. They may not find out for years and years later, but when they find out, they look at you like, you was on some other stuff then, Pop. But like I said, this is regional. This is cultural. Because this is more of a thing. It's more, football is like a religion in the South. Look at the SEC. Look at the SEC. In terms of college football, where have the champs come from? When you think of the powerhouse programs in football, who immediately comes to mind? When you think about the various dynasties in football, who comes to mind? Outside of like Ohio State and a USC run way back in the day, you typically are thinking about your Texases, your Oklahomas. Nebraska had a go. That's not in the South. But your Floridas, your Florida States, your Miamis, Alabama. You're typically thinking of Southern State, LSU, Louisiana. You're typically thinking of those Southern States, and football is religion here. But like I said, I want to get deeper in that in weeks to come. look out for it. Be on the lookout for it. I will update you here. I'm not going to hold you here right now because I'm looking at my watch. It's getting a little late. But I do encourage you to go to my Instagram, to go to my Twitter, Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Engage. We'll talk about it. I'll put up a post coming up shortly, and I will preview the podcast. And so I want you to engage and talk about this very subject, and we can have a discussion there. We can also have the discussion on Twitter at G Robinson Sports, at G Robinson Sports. I'll do the same. I'll put it out there. I'll preview it. We can engage. We can talk about it, because this is something that needs to be discussed, because this is for us, for all of us. But some people are trying to just make it about them. Even if you go to the, what was the name of their, the Concussion Legacy Foundation, if you go to their site or their Instagram, I went to the Instagram site, finding black folks was few and far between. Like, the pictures of the brothers they had, damn near all of them had died from CTE. And that's the only, you know, they'd have, you know, young hockey players speaking out, or they'd have, you know what I'm saying, they'd have young white people speaking out. But every black dude that had damn near was like, RIP, old Bubba, he died, had CTE. Like, dang. But once again, that's for another time. I thank you for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. Like I said, we will get on that further down the road. I thank you for tuning in. I thank you for giving me your time. I appreciate it. I thank my producer and engineer, Young Reese Boogie, doing big things out here. I will tell you a little bit more about what he has going on. He's doing some good stuff out here in these streets. I also would like to thank my sponsors, Greenwood Whiskey. Celebrate with Greenwood Whiskey. I promise you, you'll thank me later. 323 Custom Apparel. All you have to do is go to at 323_custom_apparel, and they will put you in the game. I promise you, you will make your clothing your statement. Stand above the crowd. Thank you. I thank all of them. And I thank you once again. Until next week, I'll holler.
Okay, bye.